Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Detaching the ones who keep acting attached, it's a leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these lyrics and actually reach.
That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams, and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
Welcome back to another episode of The Porch Podcast. Me and my boy, D Nice, D Smitty, D Nail holding it down, man. It's another day, man. God is good. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, you just said it's another day, it's another dollar, and God is good all the time. I tweet that out every single morning for the last, like, 10-plus years, and I just feel good to be here on the porch, Bolo.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Before we move any further, I just got to get this off my chest.
Oh, okay.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Hey, for my listeners, man, I gotta say my piece. Obviously, Justin Fields is no longer a Chicago Bear. If you're listening in your car, you're listening while you're working out, I am currently rocking a Justin Fields jersey. I'm mad because, if y'all know, authentic NFL jerseys ain't cheap. You feel what I'm saying? So for me to pay for a jersey to be able to get my money's worth, right, I don't think 3 years was enough. Mm. All right. Now, I'll just say this. The Bears fuck Justin Fields. All right. Now, I'm happy for Justin Fields that he's transitioned on something new, right? The Steelers, you know, was a team that seen something in him, picked him up, right? But I think the Bears didn't do right by him. And obviously, this is spilt milk. Obviously, this is a conversation that has been talked about by a lot of analysts, by a lot of people online, but I just want to speak my piece to this. Mm-hmm. March 16th will be a day that will go down in history for everybody in Chicago, and that is when Justin Fields was no longer the quarterback for Chicago. Couple reasons, in my opinion, right? For one, he's a black quarterback, right? Chicago don't see too many black quarterbacks, so for us to have a black quarterback, for him to come from Old State, be a winning quarterback, come here, have some success, you know, with what he had, right, I think said enough. I think the Bears organization got caught up in the hype around Caleb Williams. You know, everybody talking about him. Some of the analysts were over the heels for him and things like that. So for them, I think the organization was like, hey, we might fail. We might fail if we keep Justin Fields, right? But now they're playing with the house money. It's like, okay, what do y'all want us to do? If we lose with Caleb Williams, the world wanted Caleb Williams, we got him, right? But right. If they would have kept Justin Fields and Caleb Williams would have went somewhere else and Caleb Williams coincidentally would have started balling, then now, you know, somebody has to fall on the sword, right? So I think the organization will always put themselves in the best situation not to fall on the sword. And Justin Fields was unfortunately a guy who had been falling on the sword since he came in the door. Two offensive coordinators. Everybody know the transition from a college athlete to an NFL athlete is two totally different worlds, right? I put it in this perspective, right? Let's just say, D-Nell, like, bro, I want some quesadillas, bro. Obviously, with the quesadillas, you need the chicken, you need the tortillas, you need the cheese, you need the pan, you need a little bit of butter. Yeah. Obviously, you got to cook the chicken up and everything. But when Justin Fields came to cook his quesadillas, they gave him the chicken, they gave him the pan, they didn't give him quesadillas.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, it's so fucked up now that Caleb Williams is coming in the kitchen with all the ingredients to cook the quesadilla. Right. And the thing about it is there's no telling if the quesadilla is even going to be good. So we putting the cart before the horse for this guy right now. And we don't even know if he's going to pan out to be what we think he's going to be. To be in the NFC North, to be in Chicago, I feel like you got to be a different breed. I'm a Chicago guy, born and raised. Like, I love the Bears. Right. So for this guy to come to Chicago, right, I feel like it got to hit a little different. And one thing that pissed me off, right? And like I said, I'm happy we got a new quarterback. So I will embrace him with open arms. If he gets us to the playoffs, I'll be okay with that. Because it's been a while since we've had a quarterback to get us to that point, right? I think all the pieces are in place. Even though if they would have put the pieces in place for Justin, I think they would have got there. But it's spilled milk, right?
Right.
But if now Caleb's in the seat, hey, it's his time. But I seen most recently online, somebody called my new QB1 a bad bitch. Had pink nails, had lip gloss. I think he had a pink phone case or something like that. Just a lot of zestiness right now going on. And obviously, no harm, no foul. I don't care how you flip it, shape it, turn it, rub it, right? You just got to win some games.
Right.
Right? You got to win some games, right? So you're bringing a lot of unnecessary attention already. And obviously the draft ain't even here. This is all, hypotheticals, right? The Bears didn't come out and say, hey, we're taking Caleb Williams in the first round. But everybody knows, right? The best quarterback in the draft, hearsay, right? Obviously the Bears got the first pick. We'll take Caleb Williams, right? It only makes sense. So we're already kind of putting it in that position. So he already has all of this attention on him that has nothing to do with actually coming in here to win games.
Right.
So with him being in that locker room, there's a certain type of aura you have to have about yourself to be a leader and command a group, right? Mm. I think it's going to be a challenge for him to get in that locker room and command a team, right? With just kind of some of the nonsense he got going on right now. That's all I'm saying. And at the end of the day, it's all about winning games. It's all about winning games, all about being efficient, right? But to be a quarterback, you have to be a leader of men, right? You have to have that understanding of like, hey, this is what I'm going to tell you. Here's when you're wrong. Here's what we're going to do. I'm vetoing this, right? So you got to drop your balls, saying, in order to be a quarterback, a successful quarterback at that. So we'll see how it goes because I don't think it's really panning out the way I would like it to be kind of in the pre-stages. And obviously we got a lot of room for, OTAs and locker room and camaraderie and a lot of things to build on. But yeah, man, I think the NFC North is up for grabs. I mean, obviously the Lions came off a great year. Green Bay Packers are a great team as well. Vikings are a team that you never want to, sleep on either. So I think it is up for grabs, but I'm curious to see if we actually, make it happen with all the moves that we've made, this past offseason. So we'll see. But I wish Justin Fields the best of luck. Brother, this is the last time that I am going to rock your jersey, but I'm going to still follow you over there with the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. I don't know. I'm a Russell Wilson fan myself, too, so I'm kind of torn on who should play, who should kind of run the rock.
Russ
going to
start
now.
The season already. Mike Tomlin already said that. We know that for a fact.
And I want to see him be successful. I want to see Russell be successful, but it's like a double-edged sword because I want to see Justin Fields play and get his just due as well because three years into the NFL with two offensive coordinators, I mean, it's kind of like you're working on year one and two because if you're working with two offensive coordinators, right, it's almost like – I call it like stepdaddies. Like stepdaddies, right? So you got two quarterbacks. You got one quarterback. You got two offensive coordinators, right?
Yep.
Offensive coordinators is like the dad, right, to the quarterback, right? They're giving them their philosophy. They're giving them the insight. They're essentially – trying to teach them how to be a man, but how to be a quarterback in the NFL, right?
Right.
So this quarterback comes in, he has an offensive coordinator. He's learning his offensive coordinator's ways. He's learning how to be an NFL quarterback from this one coordinator, right? So he's accustomed to this one style. Stepdaddy packs up, leaves, boom. Baby mama, Chicago Bears was like, I got another sugar daddy I'm going to bring in here. Let me get this other OC in, right? The next OC come in and is like, hey, let me show you how to be a man, right? And in this case, right, it's like, let me show you how to be an NFL quarterback. So now he already has in 3 years two different variations of how to be an NFL quarterback. Mm. He's confused, right? Over 50% of his passes were thrown behind the line of scrimmage, right? Who's calling the plays? You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of giving people a shot, giving people a chance, and then putting the things around him for him to be successful. But I will let that go. Good luck, Justin. Hello, Caleb. Welcome to Chicago. Make sure you check in with folks now.
Okay.
Right? Make sure you show the city love, right? Because we're going to love you when we love you, but we're going to hate you when we're going to hate you. You feel what I'm saying?
So what's the real quick? What's the rules? You kind of saying it right now. What's the rules for Caleb Williams? Like, what does he need to know ASAP when he comes to Chicago?
I just feel like he just got to come. He got to embrace the city. He got to show love. You know what I'm saying? He got to, you know what I mean? Show his face around, stuff like that. Like, that's what I mean. Like, check in, man. He got to be one with the city. You know, obviously he's a Washington guy, been on the West Coast, right? But now he's coming to Chicago, Midwest. It gets cold. You know what I'm saying? It can get slimy at times, right? So he just got to be ready to endure all types of variations that'll come his way with the Chicago Bears, man. So it's a lot of uncontrollables in the city. So I just hope that he's ready for the ride. So, because we're going to love you if you do your thing. But if you don't, brother, if you don't,
winning cures all, man. And like you said, we shall see. It's been a lot of talk going on. I saw Caleb Williams actually earlier today post a little quick video where I think one of his like trainers or something like that. He was like, clear fingernails, pink lips. Your girl like it though, and then turned around, walked away. So I said, okay, I kind of liked it though. Like, hey, he talking a little.
I'll take it, bro. I'll take it. I said, you win games, man. You can come out there and put on anything you want, man, as long as you put them points on the board. So
that brother confident, man. So like, we shall see. But man, listen, I am a Justin Fields fan as well, and I just hope that he gets an opportunity at some point. Even if it's not this year, which is cool, I think he can learn a lot sitting behind Russ, a veteran, have some similarities of playing style. So I think it could be a win-win for both sides. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But man, Bolo, you came on here preaching right now. Man, I had to clap it up for you. The quesadilla analogy? Come on now.
Analogy was crazy. I just had some quesadillas the other day too. So that's why I was big on the quesadilla analogy.
Okay, my God, man. So moving on. It's time for my favorite segment. What's your response? I heard you had a good one today, Bolo. I know the Port family, they've been waiting. Our last episode with Mr. Alvin Jones, the creator of Rap City, we didn't have a chance to get that statement in because we had a lot of storytelling to tell during the episode. But today, it's just me and you, my brother. So I gotta ask you, man, what is the tea today? What's going on the What's Your Response segment?
Sips T. So Porch family, get into this, right? So a female friend of mine is the maid of honor in her best friend's wedding that happens to be in 2 weeks. The boyfriend and the girlfriend were together for about 3 years, right? The maid of honor, which is obviously my friend, found out that the groom cheated 6 months into the relationship on the potential bride, right? But the bride does not know at all. So the maid of honor is in a pickle because she's like, do I tell her? But if I tell her, the wedding is off. But do I just let it slide and let them live happily ever after with me knowing he backdoored her at least 6 months ago? So Porch family, D-Nail, obviously, what's your response, bro?
Just for clarity, 6 months ago or 6 months within the relationship?
Sorry, 6 months into the relationship, he backdoored her. And now 3 years later, they're getting married.
This is a tough one right here. This is what you call being between a rock and a hard place, Bolo. But you asking me right here on the porch, live on the porch, my honest opinion, removing all emotions and thinking with clear-cut logic and understanding of the bigger picture. You got to keep it to yourself, sister.
Ooh.
You got to keep it to yourself, Bolo, man. Listen, you said it happened 6 months within their relationship. I don't even know if that even counts as an actual relationship yet. Y'all dating, y'all figuring stuff out. What's your favorite color? What you like to eat? Y'all probably not even living together yet, I'm assuming. Y'all probably just still meeting up and stuff after work. Listen, it's wrong. You should never cheat, man or woman. I'm not defending him for cheating. That is absolutely wrong. But as far as we know, that was a one and done situation. It has now been 3 years since that situation. And they are at a point now in their life where they both have grown and they are deeply, deeply, deeply in love. They're talking about the future. They're talking about having babies and kids. They're talking about putting their bank accounts together and investing together and really creating a foundation that can help their families grow. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about changing legacies, Bolo. That's how deep this marriage thing can be. We don't think about the full picture. So I just think it's too much to lose. And it's way too much to lose for this lady, your homegirl, to tell her homegirl, the soon-to-be bride and a wife, that her man fucked up. And I know it feels uncomfortable because it's your best friend or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You want to ride for your homeboy, your homegirl, whatever situation is, and tell them the truth or whatever. And if it was more closely to the actual time that it happened, Of course, not even a conversation. Like, tell her, boom, you know, move on. But it's been 3 years since that. And to all understanding, to my knowledge, the man ain't did nothing wrong. You know what I'm saying? And a lot has changed in 3 years. Think about your own life, my own life. A lot happens in 3 years. So I just think that you're doing more harm than good to really put that information out there right now. She will feel embarrassed, the wife, I think, because you have to cancel the wedding. You got all the money already spent. A lot of money ain't going to get back because you said 2 weeks away. Some of that shit is past the point of getting that money back. So it's just like, nah, Bolo.
I understand exactly what you mean. But playing devil's advocate here, though, you hear it in the movies, you hear it in, you know, even relationships, right? When the woman says, why didn't you just tell me? That means this whole relationship was a lie.
Yeah, you do.
You know what I'm saying? So what's in the dark eventually does come to light. That is literally what my philosophy is. Yep. So, you know, as my friend, right, you know, me telling her, obviously I didn't give her any feedback on this situation yet. You know, I obviously gave her the, you know, think with your heart, you know, thought process, because I think it can be bad either way.
Yeah.
But if she does say it, I think it does save her relationship with her friend, though, because if she finds out down the road that the friend knew,
yeah,
then obviously that's going to be an additional conversation to have with the friend, right? So I feel like, obviously I get it, the embarrassment, the money, people traveling, like obviously it puts a lot of people in an inconvenience. But I do think going into a union fresh with the knowing of everything that's going on does play a big part in the longevity of the relationship. Because like I said, especially with women, bro, they could be 10 years married, bro. And she finds that out, it's still going to be an issue. Like, it's going to be something that it's going to be that cloud over his head probably for the rest of their marriage. Or it's probably going to be one of those big points of their marriage to see if it's actually going to work, because now she's not going to trust him, right? They didn't did and experienced all these things together, but she's like, damn, we didn't did all this together, but you still was like, you backdoed me. So like all this shit was fake. None of this shit was real. Like, I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I ain't going to listen to nothing you say. You know what I'm saying?
That's why it sounds like fucked up. Like I'm not on some sneak. I ain't no sneaky type of dude. It's nothing like that. I'm just, as I've gotten older, I try to think without emotion, because we're all emotional. We get mad. We get our feelings hurt. We get sad. We get embarrassed. We'll act a certain way. But when you remove all of that and you just think about the big picture, if you're marrying this man, he must have every quality that you're looking for in a husband. He must be a really great man that you're willing to, under God, you know what I'm saying, really commit to this man. And I would assume talk about kids and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? So, like, I just think that, because what you're saying is right, Bolo. Women, they are emotional, and it could be 10 years down the road. They found out about it, and now they don't believe nothing in the relationship.
Right.
But in reality, that's not real. That's not true either. So it's like, okay, I messed up 6 months within our boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, and now you're saying everything else has been fake? Like, come on now. That doesn't make sense. Like, that makes zero sense. This man ain't marrying you for no reason. The same thing you see in him, he sees something great in you as well. Y'all making a decision right now. So my thing is, look, as long as he ain't actively doing the stuff, I think you got to just kind of take the L, so to speak, and like move on to think about greater pastures, bro. Like, this is a beautiful union. I'm gonna be real, bro. I know a lot of people in my own family. I heard stories about my grandfathers as I got older.
The old heads used to move different.
Keep it funky. But as a kid, you see your grandparents, you're like, this is just, man, they've been together 30 years, 40 years. Yeah. This is beautiful. But you, when you get older, you start hearing the real stories and stuff. And I just think that in this world, we got to understand. And again, I'm just saying, this is not a pass for anybody. I swear to God, it's not a pass. But as humans, we are flawed. Whether it's cheating, whether it's being disrespectful verbally, whether it's lying, whatever it is, everybody's shit stink. Yeah. Everybody got something. Now, you can say, well, this is higher than this, and this is higher than this. Ain't no sin greater than the other one. So unless you perfect, don't be over here judging somebody else. So my thing is, if you learn from it and you grew from it and you're actually at a way better spot in a position where y'all can have, like, build something like that's real, man, bro, I think you gotta just Keep that, hold that in.
Gotta eat that, huh?
What's the win? Okay, you go tell your homegirl. Okay, that she knows now. Now she trusts you because you told her. Okay, the marriage, the wedding's over. She's sad. She's depressed. She's embarrassed. But I guess you kept your friendship. But like,
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's almost selfish, low key, to tell her. The more I'm thinking about it.
Ooh, you think so?
Because now you're thinking more about you. You ain't thinking about her in the greater picture. Bro, marriage, bro, you know, marriage can literally change the lives. Like, yeah, depending on what absolutely. You do.
Absolutely. Like, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying as far as like her being selfish, but I feel like it'll be a big issue whenever she finds out, though.
Right.
That you knew, though. Like, you knew. And you ain't say shit. You supposed to be my dog. Like, what's up? Like, you let me walk down the aisle with this man, and he said all this shit about how much he loves me, whatever, whatever. Obviously, I mean, this is just me saying, obviously, it could be very true, right? But, you know, sometimes the logic and how women think, right? He said all this stuff to me, confessing his love, right? Saying his vows. But you sitting there next to me knowing he did this to me, right? So, I mean, I just think it's tough, man. It's tough. I think either way it goes, right? Yeah. I think marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful union, right? They'll end up having kids, you know, great house, home, life, love. Like, it'll be a lot of good things, right? If it's just taken to the grave, right? But in the case that if it's not taken to the grave, right, I think that it'll be bigger fish to fry. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to hear from the Porch family on this one. This is a tough one. I'm going to put this on social media so we can hear from everybody online. Maybe I'm tripping. Maybe I'm like legit tripping. You know what I mean? Because if I put myself in a situation, I probably would want to know. But then I don't know, though. I don't know, bro.
Boy, you want to know, boy. I know I would want to know, boy.
I think I want to know, but then it's like you invest so much time. But damn,
why you telling me that now? Now I'm mad as fuck now.
Because it's like, the same concept. Like right now, I'm not about to be going through my woman's phone and stuff like that. One,
I feel you on that.
But number two, in the event that she is doing something, like you said, everything in the dark will come to light. I don't want to be like searching for it. And then I'm not trying to look for something that's going to hurt me and be mad.
And then, then on some like, you know, you find out, like you said, you made a good point. Like you find out. And then you still moving forward with it.
Right. Like
you know what I'm saying? It's like what's the damn, you know, so
now let's say she do find out she still decides to marry Buddy, but now they get married on like a rocky foundation. She's not really as happy. And now Buddy find out that your best friend told y'all can't really, you ain't about to be around my house like that either though.
Facts.
Even though I was technically the wrong, you caused my wedding. It made my wedding a negative thing. I don't really want you in my crib no more.
And so So maybe she should tell the groom, you need to talk to your future wife about this issue before I do type shit.
She could talk to him and he should be like, listen, you as her best friend, I respect you for coming to me and doing this. You didn't have to do it. That was a mistake that was made 6 months in when me and Shorty was whoop. I'm different. It was 3 years. It was a one-time thing. I messed up. We moving on. I've talked to God about it. God has accepted it. Forgive me. We moved on. That's what we're doing. Please do not bring this up because it's not worth it. Because, like, bro, people really change. Like, 3 years, bro? Like, fuck.
Life, yeah. People like, change,
that's
man.
You a whole nother
I'm a whole different person from, you know.
Right. Like, you, like, that only, like, 3 years, man.
That's a fact. That's
we
a
know
fact.
Niggas, Bolo. We know niggas. That's a fact. You know what I'm saying?
Niggas,
like,
niggas change, B. Niggas change, B.
Niggas change, man. But I know one nigga that needs to change, but it's not like he ain't changed. That's that dude, Puff Daddy, Raps. Puff Diddy, P Diddy, Diddy, Diddy do it. It's going to be the
Diddy
damn
do
title
it.
On this episode right God. Now, man.
Damn.
Unless you've been living underneath a rock, man, it's been all hell has broken loose in the Combs households, plural. So kind of just giving y'all a quick, I guess, rundown, update, timeline, whatever, man. Diddy has been subject of a federal investigation. Federal agents, you know, I think it was Homeland Security, raided all of his homes. And he had one in New York, Miami, out here in L.A., where I'm at. Allegedly, they found guns. They found some phones were seized. It looked like they were looking for something specific within the house. No one has been actually arrested right now. But, you know, right now, Combs, P. Diddy is like five plus lawsuits of sexual assault, sexual trafficking, and engaging in other criminal activity, man. And it got the social media world and the media world just like just popping right now for all the wrong reasons. And I guess I'm going to throw it to you first, but though, just obviously right now, no one's arrested. These are all technically allegations.
Right.
But like, just what is your overall thoughts right now on the situation, man? This is P. Diddy, man, who's a legend.
He's a
mogul, a billionaire with a B, somebody that black people, honestly, like, especially younger, you kind of look up to as somebody that you want to thrive to be. And that now you're hearing all these allegations about it. Like, it's hard for me to believe they all lies, bro. But I'm going to let you go in first.
Yeah, I think that's the angle where I'm at with it. Like, you know, obviously, everybody kind of knows some of the bullshit that he's gotten into is pretty intense, pretty severe, right? Drugs, you know, trafficking, like some pretty intense stuff. I'm just kind of frustrated that like it's just another black person who was at such a high point in his life, right? Where, you know, he was kind of like, for many, he was a spokesperson for the black community. You know what I'm saying? Vote or die, like love, like kind of putting that good energy out there. You know, De Leon, Ciroc, like all that stuff, man. Revolt. Was just like, Revolt, like that's like big cultural pieces in the black community, bro. And like Diddy has been a part of a lot of things when it comes to black culture. You know what I'm saying? So him getting into that bullshit, you know, it just kind of sets us back, you know, a little bit in a lot of aspects. And obviously, I think black people gonna be black people, right? You know, we get online, you know, we start throwing jokes and shit. Like we make everything like a joke and a mockery of it, right? So, I mean, it is funny, you know, when people throw out stuff, but I mean, it's actually in all reality super sad though. Like you think about your R. Kelly's, you know, he get caught up in some shit, right? One of the best R&B legends to ever live. You think about Michael Jackson, right? Somebody who one of the best. You know, pop artist to ever live, right? He getting caught up with the child stuff, and you know, now you got Diddy in this type of situation. I mean, it's just like, damn, like it's like you can't think about a very, very successful black man without eventually thinking like, okay, when is he gonna fall? Or like, what is he doing wrong behind doors where he'll eventually get caught, right? And I know like other races are probably looking at us too, like, damn, like what the fuck is going on in their world right now? You know what I'm saying? So I think it just sucks, man. Just for the black community to just continue to go through the same cycle of like our heroes, right? The people that are kind of leading us per se, right? Going down these types of paths of destruction, essentially. Because obviously, big picture focus. You know, I was reading like Candace Owens had said something, obviously, especially the black community, they ain't really into Candace Owens because, you know, she speaks her mind and says some things that aren't really too favorable amongst, you know, the black culture. But she said something about like, you know, Diddy is just like a small fish in this big pond. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, things kind of fell down on him, you know, in a lot of aspects because the higher ups, you know, the billionaires per se, right, are kind of running things at the top there. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that, you know, Diddy, even though he was a spokesperson for us, he kind of was running the culture. I think he still was being maneuvered and you know, controlled in certain aspects just because that dollar would do it. And I think the dollar is powerful, man. Sometimes you get to a point where, you know, fun ain't fun no more unless you're doing something you ain't supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and there's rumors. I mean, it's all, again, these are all rumors, allegations, conspiracy. So, listen, I'm not saying any of this is facts, but there's rumors right now that, like, if you saw the video of, like, the aftermath of, I think it's LA home, of how it looked from, like, Homeland Security after they went through, it wasn't as, like, crazy, like, of a mess as you would assume it would be after, like, a full-blown raid. So that tells me that they were looking for very specific items or something very specific that they were searching for. And there's like rumors that people think that they went into his crib to just find evidence that he has on those higher ups to destroy it, to protect them. That's a conspiracy. But like some conspiracies make sense.
Think about that.
Some conspiracies that makes a lot of sense, brother. And they claim he got like secret hidden cameras in all the rooms. And let's keep it funky too, man. For years, we've heard about Diddy parties. Now, we didn't know all the specifics because we ain't never been there. I ain't make that type of dollar amount yet to be in that type of environment. But you always heard Diddy parties kind of got a little wild and the Hollywood parties get kind of crazy. So, like, it's not like this is just some brand new stuff that just shocked the world in terms of, like, he's got some shit going on. So, I mean, I don't know if it's true. He really has, you know, cameras in all the rooms and all that stuff. But let's say he does. And just imagine all the big time names and people that then came there.
Oh, yeah.
And was getting active in those rooms. Imagine the type of like what that could do to the legacies and families and businesses if all that stuff got leaked. So again, it's a conspiracy right now, but some conspiracies do make sense. I would not be shocked that they went in there just to find the evidence to protect some of those big names, those politicians that came to those parties, all types of
facts
to keep them, you know, out of the limelight and make Diddy kind of be the fall guy. You know what I'm saying?
100%, bro. And I seen some where they trying to slap him with a RICO. You know what I'm saying? Like Bad Boy Entertainment, just kind of his whole like regime, everything that he falls under, his LLCs and his organizations are kind of falling underneath that. That category, man. And it's wild because when it rains, it pours. Similar to when R. Kelly got in trouble and he had a couple allegations and then all these women start coming out of nowhere like, hey, I was assaulted too. So now when Diddy is in the mix, man, I probably read probably about five or six additional stories right within the past week. Like the girl, remember back in the day, they were in the club and Sean, he's the president overseas right now. He used to be with Diddy.
Yeah.
There was a shooting in the club, right? And he went to jail for it. He did the bid because the girl got shot in the face.
Yeah.
Now the girl's coming forward now saying, hey, Diddy was the one who actually shot me in the face.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? So it's stuff that's super intense that's just coming, like he just getting slapped in the face with just so many different things. Like, right. And then I heard that, like, you know, on a lot of those affidavits that Justin Combs was on a lot of those things too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The son. So he got the son in the mix. You know, obviously, you know, Christian and, you know, Quincy, I don't think they were heavily involved in kind of some of his day-to-day movements, but I think Justin was involved in a lot of his day-to-day interactions. Imagine. And I think for me, that's where I kind of lose respect for him to that point. Obviously, everything he's doing to this point of like, with the women and all that stuff, like that's all that shit is fucked up. Like you know what I mean? But it's still allegedly, right? But as a father, right, to be putting your kids in that type of position, right, to do wrong, you know what I mean? You teaching them the wrong way, right? That's when everything kind of just goes out the window for me. Like, dude, like you a bad individual, man, to be luring your kids into this type of life. And, you know, who knows what'll happen to, you know, with Justin when the chips finally fall.
Yeah, man, that's a good point, man. And you're seeing all types of names are popping up. I'm seeing Cuba Gooding Jr. I saw, you know, 50 Cent's baby mama, Daphne Joy, was supposed to be like one of the sex workers that got paid a monthly fee to sleep with men and stuff like that, allegedly. And that's talking about Young Miami was helping like move cocaine. Like, now again, if I'm being real, I do think some of the stuff that's coming into this are probably not true. Because a lot of times, like you said, like, you know, once a big name is in the mix, everybody want to jump in and try to find their way to get some money. So I'm sure some of this stuff is probably just some lies, if I'm keeping it funky.
Yeah.
But I don't think all of this is
like,
especially,
you know,
Cassie, though. Cassie came out first. And had
in the $30 million settlement like that, I mean, I feel like that was just like the tip of the iceberg where motherfuckers was like, oh, shit, he threw that bread pretty quick.
He paid this super quick.
They like, this nigga done did everything then. If he throwing $30 million like that,
he didn't even think about fighting it, Bolo.
You know what I'm saying? And her lawyers are still talking about, like, you know, I hope he get got for all the egregious and atrocious atrocity, you know, all the shit that he's been doing, you know what I'm saying, in his throughout his time. So it sucks, man, just because when you down, like the world, social media, you know, they gonna beat you down too, man.
Yeah.
So,
and that, bro, the Cassie shit is the main part for me. I'm like, yeah, she was really with him for real for a long time. Yeah. And she like disappeared. She like had, she came out with like two hits and we just didn't see her for years.
Facts.
But we just knew she was Diddy's girl, but we really didn't see her. TMZ would get a picture here and there, but we didn't really see her. So it kind of makes sense that he had her just in the room in the house, just fucking drugged up, doing whatever. And then the Kid Cudi story about his car getting blown up
and shit.
And
yeah,
Kid Cudi
wild.
Confirmed the story basically as well, because he did.
That's what I'm
jealous.
Saying. Like, you got credible people coming up with these stories and saying this shit. I'm like, some of these, man, like, these rich motherfuckers ain't lying.
That nigga,
you
know, did it. I'm gonna say it right now.
Man, I think he did too. You know who kind of like lost a little bit of credibility with me too now, man? Cause I feel like he be on some zesty shit now, bro. Ooh. Meek Mill.
Stop.
I like Meek Mill, bro.
Why they going to Meek like that, bro? I don't think Meek really on
man,
that.
Man, when I seen him hopping like a bunny on the tennis court, bro, I'm like, this nigga is a puppet. This nigga is being controlled. But it's funny though. I seen the video with Ice Cube, bro. And Ice Cube said, he said, I'm Hollywood, but he said, I don't get into Hollywood. He was like, I do my thing. I kind of sit back and relax, but you don't find me at all those different parties and shit, kind of, you know, meshing with different people within that specific lifestyle, bro. Cause I think it does come with the territory. Like the nigga 50 Cent said, like, nigga, I don't want you to take me out and buy me shit. Like, nigga, I can buy my own shit. Like 50, grown like, ass man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a grown ass man. So I think Diddy, I mean, like I said, Diddy probably hella zesty with that shit. Like, you know, he probably fuck hella bad bitches. You know what I'm saying? Then that nigga just be wanting to get some male buns. Yep. That nigga.
And then he wants you to watch him while he do it. Or yeah, he want to watch you. Or
that nigga weird, man. So that money make motherfuckers weird, man. That's all I'm saying. So.
Why is that, bro? I just watched the Nickelodeon documentary, Quiet Ooh. On Set, man. These are shows I grew up like watching myself. I used to love Drake and Josh and all these shows. And you got these people sexual assaulting these kids, and you got people just verbally abusing and all these kids, bro.
Be thinking that kid shit. Like, it's going to sound crazy. Motherfuckers might think I'm tripping, but I really think like a motherfucker got to really be like, something has to be wrong with you.
Yeah.
To, like on that, on the Quiet on Set, like one of the producers was fucking with 11-year-old?
Like something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like a very young girl. I'm like, bro.
Keeping
like,
her panties and shit. It's like
yeah, in a bag and shit.
It's like a psycho killer, like a serial killer type mindset. You know how serial killers will kill people and they'll keep like trophies of the people they killed as evidence. That's how it was reminding me. You keeping like panties and stuff. It's like, bro.
Yeah, I don't understand it, man. It's just, but I was telling a buddy of mine, though, I wish I really didn't see that shit, though, just because, like, some of the things, like, some of the jokes that they were playing back and, like, kind of giving us, like, the meaning to it and shit, I'm like, man, I never thought about that. Here I am thinking that shit was funny as fuck. Right. And it's like, it kind of ruined me now, as opposed to me seeing it beforehand. I just thought, like, that shit was silly, and then, like, I'm seeing these specific scenes. I'm like, damn.
Let me be devil's advocate real quick on some of those. Do you feel like some of those they were reaching though?
I thought so.
In hindsight, it's like you could say that now, but like,
yeah. And I didn't want to sound insensitive. Obviously, we live in a world now where like you know, you got to respect people's feelings and what you know.
Yeah.
Certain aspects.
Shit, hey, respect my feelings too. Like, I got an opinion too. Shit.
the first episode, like there are a few things where I was like, I think that shit is just funny. Like, right. You know, I don't think there was any like intentional, like sexual derogatory things with that.
Right, right.
But people can, you know, the mind can wander. People can flip something. I can be talking about something completely bland or completely like gray, and somebody can manipulate what I say to make it sound sexual. You know what I'm saying? So.
And the director, I can remember buddy name, like the main guy that was talking about. Dan, like he came out, had his own response. He was like, listen, every skit idea we had, parents was in there, my higher ups was in there, had to go through the chain of command and they approved it. So like, y'all acting like I just came up with this some quote unquote weird shit behind closed doors and just threw it out there. Now, again, I'm not there. I don't know how true that is or how much power the other people had. I have no idea. I'm just listening to what he said. You know, it's always, you know, three sides to a story. It's his side, it's their side, and it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? So you really never know. I'm sure some of the stuff he's saying is whatever. I think him specifically, because he didn't do any like sexual assault or anything like that. He just was like an asshole, was a little bit of a creep. I think he had a power, like a power issue because he was the fat kid growing up, couldn't get no girls, probably wasn't good at sports. People probably always said he couldn't do this, couldn't do that. So he used that as motivation to become like an all-time great producer. I gotta give him that. Like he is a the shows he created,
classics, man.
Fucking like all that Drake and John. Like, these are some of the best shows Nickelodeon's
Amanda,
ever had.
Amanda Bynes.
Like, so he is great at what he did, but that power structure and that success turned him into like a crazy man where he just was so egotistical. You couldn't even work for this man. Yeah. You couldn't even be around this man because he felt like he was so much better than you. He could get away with whatever he wanted to get away with. So.
Absolutely, bro. It's crazy. 1,000%. So, like I said, we're in the world now, man, where like, you know, 1986, 1964, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers is bringing shit out the archives, you know, on, you know, what you did, where you was at, how you was moving, you know what I'm saying? So, and we kind of speaks to what we were talking about beforehand, like, you know, what was done in the dark will have a way to shine at some point, man. So
I'm going to try to treat people well, man, because like, if we being honest, we all got something that you probably don't want public, and that don't mean
that you ain't proud of.
Yeah, like it could be something you said, and like a text message or something to the homies, something that could have been taken the wrong way, or could have been a joke that, you know, we talk different. We talk to your real homie, you know what I mean, your brother.
And certain shit in the group chat is it's not politically correct
at all. Locker room talk and language, and so even something as little as that, or as big as whatever, like you cheating, like everything in between. We all got something you don't really want out there. You know what I'm saying? So I just say you just treat people well and just kind of, you know, and you know, lead with God. And as you grow as a man or a woman in your profession, just, I guess, hope and pray that you left a legacy with all those you've impacted to where they actually care about you and like you to an extent to where they wouldn't even want to blow up the spot in any way, whatever that means. You know what I'm saying? Because we all got something if we're keeping it 1,000, so.
That's a fact, man. So, I mean, I guess before we conclude, man, I just want to say heart goes out to the folks who, you know, lost their lives. I had a loved one lose their family member, or a friend on that bridge in Baltimore. Yeah, it was super tragic. It was something like you would never see before when the ship hit, you know, one of the pillars. Yeah, one of the pillars, and it just like a domino effect, and it just crumbled. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it just goes back to, you know, you just never know, right? Somebody was just casually on their way to work or kind of casually moving throughout their day over a bridge that people have went over millions and millions of times, right? And on that day at that time, right, then people were on that bridge and it happened to collapse like that. So it just kind of goes to show where, like, man, live in the moment, you know, be the best you at all times, because, I mean, you never know, right? So let's just continue to, you know, be nice, show love to people around you, man, and, you know, just continue to be, you know, the best you, and just show love.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you for throwing it out there, man. Like, yeah, that's I saw that video.
Crazy shit. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now, man? Movie shit,
bro. Like, what? That bridge been there forever, you know? And my wife was just out, like, in that general area, like Maryland, like right before that, you know, in the D.C. area for one of her homegirls was getting married, had like a wedding shower. So I was like, damn, like
just that, could have been quick, anybody on there, you know, on that bridge.
That quick, boom.
That's real.
Life, you know? That's why you got to appreciate life, man, for sure. Got to
appreciate it.
Prayers up for all the people, you know, impacted by that. I would lose it if I got a call. So
facts.
For sure, man. For sure, man. But listen, Bolo, man, it's been another really good episode of The Porch, man. We hit a lot of topics. We want to hear y'all opinion, man, on everything, man. It's so hard to say goodbye
to, yeah. I think hold on. Let me take the motherfucker. Hold on, y'all. Let me see, man.
This is
my
it?
My boy. My dog, man.
Hey.
Pull one out for my dog.
Pull one out for my dog, man.
You know what I'm saying? Hey. My boy Justin, man. Hey. We may not ever see him in this blue again. Look. Gone with the wind. Gone with the wind,
time,
man.
Time to get your Keller Williams jersey. Time to get your nails painted. Get your lip gloss, Bolo. Get your pink phones. Time to change the game. As long as he win, you rocking with him. Chicago, everybody from the hood, from South Side, get your lip gloss ready. Your fingernail polish ready. There's a new QB in town.
Hey, I guess that sums it up, man.
I'm going to stick by my dog, AR5. Stick by my dog, AR5. I like who we got in my city.
Hey, man, they loyal to the soil out there, man, so I'll take it. So,
take them tires, all type of shit.
Caleb, come here and do your thing, because you come here and fuck up, they're going to do you just like they did him.
They're going to drop you off over there following them, keeping them.
Hey, make sure you check in, boy. Make sure you get you some food, too, boy. You know what I mean? Hey, another bomb-ass episode, man. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. The Porch Podcast. Follow us everywhere. YouTube, Instagram. Hey, man, just show love, man. It don't cost a dollar to show love.
One quick note, Bolo. I'm going to throw it right back to you. Shout out to our subscribers. We hit that 1,000 mark on YouTube, man. We get monetized on YouTube. Shout out to y'all. Let's get to 2,000 now. I'm motivated. Let's get to 2,000, man.
We climbing. We ain't stopping working, man. We grinding, man. The Porch Podcast _, man. Follow us on Instagram, man. We're going to actually continue to post videos. Go ahead and comment, like, share, subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend that this is The Porch Podcast, man. Remember, man. Hey. When you fail, that doesn't mean you should stop trying, right? Because when you put that seed in the dirt, it got to go through darkness before it can grow. Crazy, man. Hey, and you know what? When you wake up every morning, just make sure that the best you
is the best you, and we out. Peace.
That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams, and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.